welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by FIVO. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and thrilled to welcome back the most handsome, the funniest, talented, great writer, all-around good guy, so smart, spelling bee champion of New York Times.
I got genius this morning.
Did you? I haven't even started it yet. That just shows where we are. And Matt Barrows. I almost forgot your name because I was so amazed that at 8:40 a.m. on Thursday morning, you've already hit genius.
Well, you had me at most handsome. After that, it was just like a blur. I didn't hear anything else beyond
that. I know my audience. I know my audience, and yeah, right. I am not a fool, and I like people to come back to the show. So I want them to feel it. I should take it back. I like most people to come back to the show.
If I go back into your archives and I hear you say to Matt Maiocco, the most handsome, I'm going to get really, really upset.
I don't think I've ever said the most. I think I called him handsome. I don't think I said the most. But you do realize
as long as I get the superlative, I'm cool with that. Yeah,
that's so awesome. You realize the next time he's on the show, I'm going to have to say it because he's going to be like, I heard Matt Barrows on the show and you said he was the most handsome.
It's true.
I pander.
You got to get guests. You got to do what you got to do.
Exactly. This is a tough business we're in, Matt. I'm on a bit of a high this morning. Cloud nine.
Yes.
We're recording this Thursday morning. This will come out Friday, but we're recording this Thursday morning. And Wednesday night, I went to see Justin Timberlake, one night only show with the Wiltern in Los Angeles. I was invited through a friend who's friends with his publicist, which is a very LA thing to say. But I went with her, and I guess it was a lottery. You couldn't buy tickets. You had to win a lottery to get to go. It was so cool, intimate setting. But then towards the end, he brought out NSYNC, and I about lost my mind. About lost my mind entirely. It was amazing.
It seemed like a really, I saw your the tweet that you sent out. How many people would you say are in that audience? Because it seems very, as you said, intimate.
It is intimate. I'm really bad at this. So you could say to me, how many people were at that party? I'd be like, oh, I don't know, maybe 100. And the other, anybody else would have been like, there were definitely 300 people there. So this is not my area of expertise, but it's not a huge venue, the Wiltern. It definitely is a smaller, more intimate setting. I'm trying to think of what I could compare it to.
Like an amphitheater type of thing?
Maybe, but probably even smaller.
Oh, okay.
You know where they had that state of the franchise in San Jose several years mm-hmm. ago?
Yeah.
It's smaller than that.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we're talking, you know, maybe 1,500 people or something.
Maybe. There you go. I think that's a great, yes, I would say that's probably about right. So it's small. So that was really cool. And then when NSYNC came out, that was incredible. And it was a big surprise. So I'm very excited. I've had NSYNC and Justin Timberlake in my head. While you've been doing the New York Times spelling bee, I've been singing NSYNC and Justin Timberlake. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
While we've been worrying about Eric Kendricks, you've been worrying about Justin Timberlake.
Absolutely. I mean, Eric Kendricks, this is no disrespect to Mr. Kendricks, who I'm sure is a great human, but by the time NSYNC came out, actually by the time Justin Timberlake came out for his first song, I'd kind of forgotten Eric Kendricks existed.
Well, that's a great way to get over the Eric Kendricks jilt that the 49ers Nation got yesterday. Wow. What a, he agrees to come here and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden he goes back on his word.
Yeah. I mean, do you really want that kind of person on your team? Let's be honest. No.
Turncoat, Benedict Arnold, if you will.
And to the Cowboys. It wasn't even like, I'm going to go to the Bengals or, you know. Now, I did see something that made me wonder, not wonder enough to actually look into it, but I did see something that made me wonder. It said that he stays in Dallas. maybe he lives in Dallas in the off season, and so he had the chance to just stay home.
Maybe he's from California, though.
So I got nothing for you.
I think the link there was he used to play for Mike Zimmer.
Oh, right.
In Minnesota, and Zimmer is the new defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. And so Zimmer said, okay, you know, we need you here to run this defense. You're going to have a bigger role. I'm sure it comes with bigger money. You know, his role in San Francisco was going to be maybe he starts at weak side linebacker for the first month of the season while Dre Greenlaw's back. But once Dre Greenlaw is back, he's in that Oren Burks role, which, you know, there could be games that you're playing only five snaps. So it wouldn't be a huge role if everybody's healthy. So I think that's probably what went into it. We'll have to wait for the big Eric Kendricks interview in Dallas. He was supposed to talk to us today. That's not happening. I actually hope it is happening. That'd be great. Have Tracy like dig into him. Why did you do this?
Eric, it took Justin Timberlake to get me over it. I was ready to have you here. You were on my chart. I had to go in there and delete his name. I mean, that's work. You think we have that kind of time on Free Agency Week to be adding and deleting names willy-nilly? I don't have that kind of time.
Not
a lot going on. Yeah. Rude.
Rude. Terrible.
It was terrible. But now here's my big question. The next time the 49ers play the Cowboys, is it an Eric Kendricks revenge game? That's my big question.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he was ever officially with the 49ers. I hope nobody went out and bought Eric Kendricks jerseys in that, what was it, like 13 hours? First of all, he signed it like
it that long.
He agreed to terms at like 3 a.m.
Yes.
For us, and then about 12 hours later had changed his mind. So that does happen from time to time. There was a famous Frank Gore instance where he signed with the or agreed to sign with the Eagles, and then a few days later decided, you know what, I'd rather be a Buffalo Bill. So
well, you know what this says, because it was 3 a.m. A friend of mine in college used to say nothing good happens after 2 a.m. And this just goes to show you should not be making decisions at that time of the day.
There you go. And he woke up, had some coffee, and said, you know what? I want to be in Dallas.
Yeah. Listen, I love Dallas, the city. I love it. I get it. I don't blame him for that at all. I think Dallas is an amazing city. There's a lot of fun things to do there. It's probably cheaper to live there. The tax situation is better than California. I mean, there's a lot of things. Also, again, to your point, he will have a bigger role on the defense, which is what he does. And he played for Mike Zimmer. But still, I know 49ers fans were devastated, jilted, but you know what? You have to move on. That's the business.
I'm thinking that he said at 3 a.m, I'm going to Frisco. And everyone's thought, oh, he means San Francisco, but really he meant Frisco, Texas, which is the headquarters of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, easy mistake. Any one of us could have made that.
And then he was like, I'm going to turn off my phone and nap because I've been up I was up at 3 a.m. And then he turned his phone on and he was like, wait, what? I'm going to the 49ers. It's ridiculous. Why would I go there?
The other conspiracy theory is that he played for Brandon Staley last year.
Oh, and he was like, no.
The Chargers. And maybe I think Brandon Staley had his fans on that team and then he had his detractors on that team. Mm-hmm. And that some speculate that he had no idea that Brandon Staley had been hired by the 49ers and realized it and said, you know what? I'm going to see what else is out there.
Interesting. Don't you think, though, don't you think his agent would have started the kind of like, well, Brandon Staley's going to, like, don't you think that would have been maybe a selling point when his agent?
Yeah, I'm not giving that much credence. I'm just saying that that's out there as as one of the harebrained theories on why he switched sides so abruptly. Mm. But I think it has to do with a little thing called money. I mean,
it is
usually what it boils down to in free agency.
I think Mike Zimmer was like, I need this guy. I need someone I can count on because as I look around this building, this place scares me. So I need someone that I'm familiar with. Let's give him more money. We'll give him a bigger role. And he will tell those red and gold 49ers to suck it.
Yeah, I think that's probably what happened.
probably verbatim, I imagine, is exactly how that went down. So as long as we're talking about people that are leaving, this is my segue. I don't know how great a segue it was, but of course, Eric Armstead, released by the 49ers, he's going to be a free agent. They want to take a pay cut. He didn't want to take a pay cut. Totally get that. So he's gone. The longest tenured 49er has left. So now Kyle Juszczyk, who was almost also, maybe not almost gone, but there were rumblings that he potentially was going to end up being released. He is now the longest tenured 49er by 2 months. He beats George Kittle by 2 short months. So they can compete about that. But Eric Armstead leaves. And this is the thing with this business that people, it always like drives home the fact that it is a business and it's a business on all sides. And the 49ers, I understand them thinking perhaps the 30-year-old Armstead, who's missed several games in the last 2 years coming off of surgery, all of the things, they need him to take a pay cut. He doesn't want to do it. Onward they go. It sounds like it is in fact over. I know there were thoughts that maybe he could come back. I don't think that that is going to be the case. My understanding is it's not going to be the case, but they say goodbye to Eric Armstead and then they shore up that defensive line with some little bit younger, maybe a little bit cheaper options, but maybe have improved the line on some level. There was a lot of things I just said at once. So tell me if you need me to repeat anything.
Let me pick something out of that. I agree with you that I think the aggregate of all the comings and goings equals a better defensive line mm-hmm. than the one that they went to Pittsburgh with in week one last year.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, they did a lot of tweaking of that line at midseason, and it was a better line by the end of the year. I think that it's a better line now than the one that faced Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
And I think
the big plus is Leonard Floyd. I mean, the big thing that we were all talking about, writing about back in January and going to the Super Bowl was that there were effort issues in the playoffs. It was like the most bizarre thing. You saw these guys sort of jogging down the line of scrimmage, just kind of assuming that somebody else is going to make the tackle. And that was a problem. And Leonard Floyd is the polar opposite of that. He is all effort all the time. He never shuts off. And I think that in that way, he's a great fit. I mean, at least nine sacks over the last 4 seasons. Mm-hmm. Nick Bosa really hasn't had that type of consistent bookend since D Ford. And even the D Ford year, that was over by midseason when Ford mm-hmm. got hurt. He never was able to kind of regain that form. So I think that alone makes it a better line. I don't think that Malik Collins is as good as Eric Armstead. But anybody's better than Eric Armstead if Eric Armstead's not in the lineup. So Collins is 2 years younger. He's $10 million cheaper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he played for D'Amico Ryans last year. So it's not a big learning curve that he's going to have. So that all makes sense. I think there's a bit of a step backwards at that particular position. You know, I think you're gaining more at some other spots, and the aggregate is a better line.
When you say all effort all the time, it makes me think the defense maybe has their new catchphrase, because there was all gas, no brakes under Robert Saleh. There was swarm or swarm, depending how you want to look at it.
I knew you were going to bring up swarm.
I mean, how could you not? It's just so good.
Can you do it? Can you do swarm? Can you give me all the letters?
What did it even stand for?
I'm asking. I mean,
now that I'm saying it, I remember swarm really, which was swarm, but I can't. And they had bracelets and everything, but I can't remember what it actually stood for.
I do remember D'Amico Ryans telling us about that that motto one day mm-hmm. In a press conference. And then asked him to say it again.
No, they asked. So it was Jake Hutchinson. He asked Fred Warner. He said to say it again. And Fred was like, you could see Fred was like, I knew this was going to happen. And now I'm going to kind of have to admit that.
So all of us were like jotting it down. It doesn't come out to swarm. It comes out.
It was for Fred Warner, who always is the person. It was like when the day with Trey Lance, we didn't talk to Kyle for hours and Fred Warner was like, the de facto spokesperson. Yeah. Poor Fred Warner is always the person who has to deal with this stuff.
You should get extra pay just for having to be that guy.
You should. So he was Swearm. And then I don't think under Steve Wilkes, there was a catchphrase, which tracks. He's not like a catch.
The catchphrase was come out of the box, Steve.
Yeah, I guess that was, I think that was the catchphrase. Or like, I'm the captain now, perhaps, kind of looking at Steve Wilkes. I mean, like, as it turns out, I now have to help with this. But so they need a catchphrase. So all effort, all the time. You are welcome, Nick Sorensen.
I think I can do better than that. Let me workshop that for a couple of days. I'm going to come back with bracelets, the whole thing.
Okay, well then, Nick, if you're listening or watching, scratch that. We're going to do something better for you.
I am proud of the nickname that I gave Steve Wilkes, which was Gone Wilkes Booth.
That's really good.
There's like a play on, of course, John Wilkes Booth.
Gone Wilkes Booth. You did that.
Famous presidential assassin. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm proud / not proud of that one.
Well, but it shows your depth that you can pull from history and politics and sports and bring it all together.
Well, when the guy's last name is Wilkes and one of the big controversies involved a booth, I mean, how can you not go there? So
how could you not? But many of us did not. So I think you should be really proud of yourself. But it didn't even occur to me. So I remember when you did it, I was like, this is why Matt Barrels is the most handsome and the funniest and most talented.
Thank you. Thank you.
All rolled into one.
Thank you. Yeah. Mayoko didn't come up with a great one like that, did he?
But we did not. No. People are going to think that there's such a rivalry here between the Matts on the beat.
But it doesn't help that we have the same name.
No, it doesn't. And that we sometimes refer to you guys as the Mats.
He and I could be going to Salt Lake City next week because both of our, both of our alma maters. You might think that he went to St. Mary's. He didn't. He just lives near St. Mary's.
He loves them.
It's gotten a little bit insane. I mean, there's only one person I know who follows a particular university more, what's the best word?
Passionately?
I was going to say intently, but that doesn't nearly kind of speak to the level here. But yeah, he's going to go.
He needs me, guys, by the way, in case anybody missed that. I was saying you mean me as the only other.
Oh, yeah. I know. Definitely.
Anybody missed that.
I definitely mean you. but yeah, UVA, my team, has to win tonight, actually, in order to sort of seal their ticket. So. What I don't want to have happen is I go to Salt Lake City with Matt and then we watch a St. Mary's UVA game and St. Mary's wins. I don't think I could come home again. I would have to fake my own death and then just like start up a new life somewhere else.
I think you'd have to cover, I guess you'd have no choice but to cover the Utah Jazz. Like you'd have to live in Salt Lake City.
I'd have to stay.
Are the Jazz based in Salt Lake City? I guess I'm assuming they are.
Yeah.
Where else would they be? Because they're not going to be like at Sundance. So, yeah. So I think the Jazz are there. So you'd have to do that. But we'd miss you.
Thanks.
Who would be our president?
Matt.
We'd be stuck with Matt again.
Yeah. Yeah. You kill the president and guess who becomes president? The vice president.
That's true. Hmm. Well.
Maybe this was his whole plan all along.
Maybe because he didn't like not being president anymore. We're talking about the PFWA, guys, our chapter. In case anybody is like, what are they talking about? And he was a president. And then we only elect Matt as the president. So then Matt Mayoko is the vice president. But you're right. Maybe that was his plan all along. He's like, I want my job back.
It's true.
And instead of just asking for it, he went.
It's another John Wilkes Booth thing. You know, conversation comes full circle.
Gone Wilkes Booth might be gone, but we're still full circle in here. We are gone off the rails, but I love it. This is why I like having you on the show, because it's fun. Well, since you brought up universities and people who follow them intently, should we talk a little draft or should we, I don't know why I'm asking, I would like your opinion. That's why I'm asking you. Should we talk a little draft? Should we talk a little bit more free agency and then move into draft?
Well, I mean, I think we should have a draft conversation before the draft, because we could do sort of Michigan draft. Products, and, you know, because there's so many of them in this year's draft class and where they would fit with the 49ers. But I think broadly, I feel like the 49ers have done everything that they're going to do on the defensive line. I know that Joey Bosa is still out there and he's a possibility. But my point is that they've spent free agency working to rebuild their defensive line. So I think by the time that the draft rolls around, I mean, only if, you know, they get really lucky and some individual that they love falls to them at one of their picks, would they bring in another defensive lineman? But I think that they start to concentrate on offensive line and maybe cornerback in some other spots once the draft rolls around. And quarterback. I mean, they only have two quarterbacks right now signed for 2024. They need at least one more, and the draft might be a reasonable spot to find that person.
Either that or Jimmy Garoppolo is available.
Yeah, well, the Raiders cut two quarterbacks yesterday, Jimmy Garoppolo and Brian Hoyer. And I would, if I had to guess which one the 49ers would sign, it would be the latter of those two.
And I was trying to think which one do they have less not great feelings about is the night. So I'm going to put that. And it probably is latter, though the idea of them signing and the idea that he just never goes away, like, it would just be kind of hilarious. Obviously, it's not happening, but the thought of it and the content around it is just very funny. So I agree with that, though. I think these are things they will find in the draft. I have a corner in mind that I'm just going to say, and then we can talk about in our draft conversation, but I think they need to draft Mikey Sanders still at 31. And the reason I keep saying it is because it worked so well with Jake Moody last year that I just kept saying it everywhere I could and tweeting it, and it works. And I'm thinking I have really high manifestation powers. And I'm essentially looking at who would be good and predictable picks. This is basically where my head is at, because there are other people who are making the football decisions for this team. And I think he'd be great. So,
yeah, I mean, he's the top nickel. He's
also really good
in the draft. You probably would have to get him if you're the 49ers at pick 31, because he wouldn't be at that end of the second round pick. The only issue with Sanders still would be you're relying on him to be your nickel from the jump.
Right.
And a lot of times that position is, you know, teams like veterans there just because they have experience and they know, you know, what's going to happen. I'm not saying a rookie can't do it, but it seems like a spot that, you know, from Carlos Rogers to Kaywan Williams, the best guys have always been players who have been in the league a long time and played a lot of snaps. It would be asking a lot of a rookie, but I think he's going to be great. He's tough. He's super quick. He's just small. And I think that that's going to, you know, push him into that second round at some point.
Right. So they would probably have to make some moves in the second round if they're not going to take him at 31. But I will say he was prepared at the best university in the world by the best coach in the world. And he won a national championship and he's very mature. And I think he would be great in that position. So there's my pitch for Mikey Sanders.
I think that's a good call. I was thinking Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle they did all this work on defensive tackles. And now I'm thinking, okay, they're not going to go after a defensive tackle now, but he's got that nice burst. He's quick, was super productive. I thought that he would be a good second round guy at some point, but now I'm starting to think that okay, they're not going to take any defensive tackles here.
They are going to also need a linebacker now.
They are. They seem to want a veteran there too. So. I don't know who that veteran, you know, it could be Oren Burks comes back. I think that's the kind of the ilk that we're talking about.
Right.
You know, you don't mind him starting three or four games, but you don't really want him playing beyond that.
Yeah. Which goes back to our original discussion as to why Eric Kendricks probably went to Dallas.
Exactly.
Which makes sense. But these are the things that they now do have to work on in the draft, and they have a number of picks in which to do it. It'll be interesting to see if they do anything at corner here in free agency, if they try to get one of these veteran guys. If they don't, then I stand by my Mikey Sanders still campaign, which I stand by anyway. But it'll be interesting to see, because they certainly haven't thus far. It doesn't mean they won't. There are certainly people out. Kaywan Williams is available. I mean, that's another one they could, in theory, bring back. which, you know, would make some sense depending on price and all of that. But they do have to figure out their CB3 pump situation because it didn't end up working last year. It, you know, Lenore can only go inside and outside so much. And I don't think you want that his whole career. You really want to get that settled. Do you think this is kind of a, this might be a dumb question, but you know, they do say there are no dumb questions, just dumb people that ask them. But do you think they would go for an outside corner and then move Lenore in permanently?
Because yeah, I mean, I think if they used their 31st pick on a cornerback, it would probably be, I know this is going to break your heart, but it would probably be a an outside cornerback. And then that scenario would be in play is that, you know, Lenore, who they always thought of as a nickel guy, I think he sort of surprised them by how well he plays on the outside, but they think that he could be the guy inside as well. I mean, he's everything that you want there. He's just so tough, kind of wily. He doesn't let things kind of get into his head, short memory, all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think that's an absolutely plausible scenario. I know that they like Darrell Luter Jr. too.
Yes.
And you know, that's something that they wouldn't mind, you know, seeing happen. He gets a full off season, which he didn't have last year. Mm-hmm. He kind of carves out that that second cornerback role opposite Charvarius Ward, and that allows Lenore to go inside too. So I think that's a scenario in play. I mean, you want to have a little bit more fallback than that. That's why I think they're going to bring in a veteran at some point,
right?
Probably, you know, not an expensive one, but somebody that they, you know, could rely on if Luter gets hurt or if one of these scenarios doesn't work out very well. You mentioned K'Juan Williams. I mean, Logan Ryan is still available.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Ravens, nickel cornerback from last season, Arthur Maulette. He's the top nickel that's available now. I don't know whether the 49ers are interested, but he's still unsigned. So I think until he does get signed, he's a possibility. And you know, played well for the Ravens last year. Mm-hmm. Obviously played a lot of big games. So he would be somebody that would make a ton of sense.
I was wondering if maybe they would bring in an outside corner, a veteran outside corner, not necessarily in the draft, but you do make a good point. I'm just going to hold out hope though on this Mikey Samristil thing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, nickel cornerbacks get devalued because they don't play every snap.
Right.
But at some point, you know, some games it's close to every snap. It's like 95% right. of the snap. So at some point, they're going to start to go earlier than they have traditionally. Now, 31, you know, maybe. Sometimes when you pick at 31, there are other teams that, you know, want to get that last tackle or want to get a quarterback. And so they kind of leap into the first round at the end of day one. And that allows you to have an early, you know, day two pick and a couple of extra picks. So that's a scenario where you could see Samristil land with the 49ers.
I just hope they're not scarred by another Michigan corner and they don't think that that's what happens to all Michigan corners when they get into the league.
Well, they did draft a really good kicker from Michigan.
They did. They did.
That guy performed well in the Super Bowl.
He did perform. I mean, there was the missed extra point. I wasn't sure if
I haven't gotten into that. What's your take on the extra point? Was that Jake Moody's fault? I still haven't figured out who was to blame for that blocked extra point.
I have watched it not a lot of times because it hurt my feelings, because I think we all know how I feel about Jake Moody. But I mean, it didn't hurt my feelings, but you know what I mean. I think it probably is a combination of a couple people's fault or a few people's fault. I don't think it's not Jake Moody's fault, but I don't think it's just Jake Moody's fault. I guess I'll put it that way. I also do believe that if he'd made the extra point, then Kansas City would have gone for the touchdown at the end and they would have gotten it. It did not help the situation and didn't help matters. I don't believe it's why they lost the Super Bowl. And I don't think that's just my Jake Moody bias. It's possible that it, but I don't think it's just my Jake Moody bias. What are your thoughts on that, actually? We haven't talked about
that. I don't know. I mean, after the game, there was a whole bunch of people on Twitter who said he kicked it with his ankle. Like, it was just a bad connection. But I didn't see that. And Eric, our colleague Eric Branch, got him in the locker room and asked him about it. And the quote was that, it felt good. I hit it fine. So I don't
and he's
tend
pretty
to
be honest. Like, Jake,
he's not going to.
And I would say, like, from a maturity standpoint, like, it's kind of incredible how honest, and this is not just my bias, I think how honest and upfront and how open he is for how early he is in his career at that position is very nice and refreshing. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
I think if he's saying something, there's no guile there. I mean, he's saying it. So my takeaway is that it wasn't his fault. I mean, sometimes it's just kind of a lucky, you know, a guy sticks his hand up in the air.
Way to play.
And the ball, you know, hit the hand. I mean, you know, 2 inches to the left or the right, that goes through. Wasn't a great block that was made, but it wasn't a tremendous amount of penetration either. So right. I don't know.
I just think it's one of the things, like, I don't blame Jake entirely. He's the kicker. So it's kind of like a little bit like the coach. Like, if they don't know the overtime rules and everyone's going to, you know, pound on them about that, is it going to fall on the coach? I think a lot was made of that, and probably wasn't nearly as big a deal as was made of that. But Jake's the kicker, so if it's a blocked extra point, he's going to get the blame. But I don't think it's not his fault at all, but I don't think it was entirely his fault by any means. So no. That is,
and it wasn't the biggest special teams blunder of the game either.
Wasn't even close. That's the play to me that where they lost the game. And I turned to our colleague, Nick, sitting next to me, and I said, that's the ball game, in my opinion. That's to me where it all changed. But you know what? It is what it is. And they lost the Super Bowl. And now they move on to next year. And as I look at what all these other teams are doing in free agency, it's going to be hard to get back. But they're still one of the best teams in the NFL. And one of the top two teams in the NFC. So we'll see. There's a lot that's happened. Well, Matt Barrows, I have loved our conversation. We've hit everything from Justin Timberlake to John Wilkes Booth to free agency to a little bit of Michigan. And I feel like we've covered so much. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about today?
No, only that we should have a pre-draft conversation. We can really kind of get into these, what is it, 95 Michigan prospects in this upcoming draft?
I think it's 97.
97.
It's 97. I would be totally down for that. Should we make it just a Michigan draft conversation?
Well, make it Michigan versus the world. Like
Michigan versus everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll wear my Michigan versus everybody sweatshirt.
Right. Well, okay. your guy, Jim Harbaugh, could be drafting half of these Michigan guys. So
he does love Mike Silver.
Tracy versus Jim at this point.
Meg Silver was on the pod a couple weeks ago, and he said he thinks on Fridays, because I'm at HQ and up in the Bay Wednesday and Thursday, he thinks on Fridays I should go to the Chargers facility and try to get Jim and any of the Michigan players that he drafts for predictable picks. And I don't hate it. In fact, I kind of love it.
Do they have a new facility, the Chargers?
Is the El Segundo one open yet? I think it opens this year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit closer.
Yeah.
I have to go to Orange County every Friday, which
yes,
I would that, I would, so. That I actually would hate. That I would yeah, hate.
Yeah. You'd but probably get on a flight. You'd board an LAX and get out at John Wayne just to cover those practices.
I could, but I don't think I would do that. But I could. You're right. I definitely could. I really don't even need to go. I don't need to cover the practice. I'm like, I just need Jim and whatever Michigan players you have real quick. And I know with Jim, there's no such thing as real quick, but nonetheless, that would be amazing. So we'll see. I was asked if the Niners used all their draft picks on Michigan players, would I be able to get all of them into predictable picks? And I was like, yeah, this is a challenge I'm willing to take.
Yeah, 11. Gee whiz.
George Kittle might
retire if that happened.
He might. But now it's also 10, right? Because they traded one of the picks.
Oh, right. That's right.
So we're down to 10. So yeah. George, you can stay. You're fine. Yeah. George, who, by the way, was a Predictable Picks guest star more than once. He enjoyed. You know who else was a Predictable Picks guest star more than once? Nick Bosa.
Oh, yeah. Our Niver winner. Yeah.
Yeah, our Niver winner. Part of why I voted for him. I was like, this guy did Predictable Picks. bless him. So there's that. Well, Matt, before you go, please tell everybody where they can find you.
I'm at Matt Barrows on Twitter. And then I write for The Athletic. So just look for my name at The Athletic.
And he is a tremendous writer. All of the joking aside from the intro, and I meant everything I said, but honestly, you are a tremendous writer and very talented, and you're funny and knowledgeable, and so people should be reading your work. So,
well, thank you so much for that, and thank you for my nice introduction. That made my day.
He's also the most handsome.
And the most handsome, yeah. Thank you.
You guys, you can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN, on Instagram and TikTok at Tracy Sandler. If you like what you heard, and I know you did, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating and a super positive review. We are brought to you by Bet Online. We are brought to you by Fivo. And with that, we'll talk to everybody next time. Bye, all.